AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, Solomon says this, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Some pretty depressing words from King Solomon, the guy who had literally everything. He has all the things that we think we need to make us happy, and he was so happy. The book of Ecclesiastes has been one of those difficult books in the Bible that people say, why is this even in the Bible? I mean, it talks about the emptiness of life, and it's not very positive. Well, it's a great book in the Bible because in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon goes on a search. Solomon, the guy that's at the pinnacle, he's king in Israel. He's got a kingdom that is so prosperous. He has more money than Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Elon Musk put together. I mean, he's the top of the top of the top. He's got 700 wives and 300 girls in the harem, 300 concubines, girlfriends, not porcupines, concubines, which indicates that his sexual experiences were, you know, rivaling Wilt Chamberlain. He had a mind like a steel trap because God had given him wisdom and understanding like the sand of the seashore. All the things that he had. And so in the book of Ecclesiastes, he goes on this search for satisfaction. Where can I find satisfaction? He said, I, the preacher, that's what he calls himself, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. The book of Ecclesiastes, 29 times in the New American Standard, we read the phrase under the sun. And that's what Solomon did. He went on a search under the sun, keeping God out, keeping heaven out. If I go on this search to find satisfaction, true happiness in life, where can I find it? Can I find it in women? No, it's not there. Sexual experiences? No, it's not there. Can I find it in work? No, it's not there. Solomon had all these projects going on. Can I find it in winsomeness and just laughing my way through life? He says, come now, I will test you with pleasure. And he says, that just left me empty. Can I find it in wine and stimulants? And maybe that's where it is. No. He looked in all these places. You know, we have that song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Well, he was looking for happiness in all the wrong places, in every area under the sun. And guess what? He couldn't find it because it's not there. Because as he says in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 25, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Answer, no one. As Augustine so famously said, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. God, you're never going to find happiness under the sun if you keep God out, if you keep heaven out. So the question for today, as we consider, do you want to be happy? You know, I pose that question to AI. Is it safe to say that everyone in this world wants to be happy? Yes, safe to say that. Hey, nobody says, you know, how can I make myself so unhappy? No, everybody wants to be happy. Well, how many people are truly happy in life? And not that many. There are lots of people who want to be happy and they are miserable. Debbie and I watched the other day, over the weekend, we watched the documentary that was about Burt Reynolds. I Am Burt Reynolds, I think was what it was called. There's a lot of I Am documentaries about famous people. And so it was about Burt Reynolds. And they made the case that Burt Reynolds was kind of the last of the big movie stars. Many of you know the name Burt Reynolds. He died some years ago at the age of, I think he was 82 or 83. But, you know, he had the world by the tail, so to speak. He was such a huge star. He was this virile guy, this macho man, so to speak, handsome guy. All the women swooned over him, and guys wanted to be like him and seemed to have this great personality. And he did for a while until he started to have problems with his back and pain and things like that. You know, Burt Reynolds started out as a stuntman in Hollywood. And so I think he said his first on-camera experience was getting thrown off a horse. Well, he had problems associated with those falls. And so it gave him pain. And back in those days, we didn't know as much about pain pills like we do today. And so he got hooked on pain pills that altered his whole personality and ruined his marriage to Lonnie Anderson and just made him a miserable person. He had a relationship with his dad that he said later in life, he said, I would have killed to have gotten a hug from my dad. His dad was very stoic, very hands-off, wasn't able to tell Burt Reynolds that he loved him until the very end. His dad was a product of the war and just very stern man, and Burt revered him but wasn't very close to him, constantly lived his life trying to earn his dad's favor. Anyways, it's a sad ending to life. So it's like, okay, Solomon has told us you're not going to find happiness in life through success, through material attainment, money, sex, power, achievement, writing a best-selling book, climbing the ladder and becoming president of XYZ Corporation. None of that stuff is going to make a person happy. What makes a person happy? Surrendering to Jesus Christ. That's what makes a person happy. The Bible says the foolishness of man ruins his way and his heart rages against the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse 3. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And that's how we live our lives. So many of us, we're not shaking our fist in the face of God and saying, I'm going to defy you. We're just like saying with the Doobie Brothers, well, Jesus is just all right with me. I just want to do my own thing. You know, Jesus is over here and I'll check him out at Christmas and Easter and pay my respects and tip my hat to him. But I'm going to do my own thing. I want to be my own boss. I want to pursue what I want to pursue because I want to be happy. As one lady told me one time, never forget it. She was living her own life. She was doing her own thing. She was trying to find thrills and chills by pursuing a life of, you know, like the prodigal son, just, you know, wine, women, and song, so to speak, and just giving herself over to, we used to say, drug, sex, and rock and roll. And when all that crashed, you know, just like it did for the prodigal, she told me, sitting at the table one day, she told me, she said, I hate my life. You're going to, if you start pursuing what you think is best for you, and you take the word of God and say, yeah, I know God says do this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you let self direct your life. Well, guess where self is going to lead you? To the pigsty, just like the prodigal son. Every single time, it's a one-way trip to the pigsty. Now, on the way to the pigsty, there'll be chills and thrills and exciting times. And the prodigal son, you know, was as he was wasting his wealth on wine, women, and song, there was a passing pleasure there, as the book of Hebrews says. You know, Moses chose ill treatment with the people of God rather than choosing the passing pleasures of sin. There's pleasure in sin, but it's a passing pleasure. And then the bills come due. And then you end up with nothing, and you're at the pigsty, and you're longing to eat the slop that the pigs are eating. And at that point, you have to come to your senses. Here's the thing. You can come to your senses before that. You don't have to get all the way to the bottom before you come to your senses. As Solomon said, the book of Ecclesiastes is in the Bible to help us see, hey, if you want to be happy, don't search for happiness under the sun. Search for happiness above the sun. Search for happiness above the S-U-N and in the S-O-N, because who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Answer, no one. And the book of Ecclesiastes, this is so cool, how it ends. So he's on this search. He's looking for satisfaction. He can't find it. He says, so I hated life. And all the things that I did didn't bring me satisfaction. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's empty. It's meaningless. It's like a soap bubble. It's like a puff of smoke. There's just nothing to it. So he ends this way. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is this. Fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Fear God. Do you fear God? That's something I pray on a daily basis. Lord, I want to fear you. Some people say, well, it's not good to fear the Lord. You know, we're not, God, does God want us to be afraid of him? Of course not. But he wants us to fear him. He wants us to stand in awe of him. I like what Adrian Rogers, how he defined the fear of the Lord. He said, what is the fear of the Lord? It is love on its knees. That's the fear of the Lord. You're in awe of who God is. And it is the beginning of wisdom, and it is the beginning of knowledge, because it's the first button of the shirt. You've heard me say this before. If you're buttoning a shirt and you miss the first button, it doesn't go in the right hole. The rest of your shirt is off. I remember as a little kid, I went to Catholic school and we had to wear a uniform, and I had to wear a white button down every day with these salt and pepper corduroy pants, and you wore a uniform. And so every day my mother would have the shirt and pants ready to go for all of us. And I was the fifth of six kids. And so we would put on that shirt. You know, as a little guy, sometimes you miss the right button. And then all of a sudden my shirt was like, what's wrong with this shirt? My mom would say, well, you got the buttons off. Well, the first button of the shirt of life is fear God. Recognize God is God and you're not God. You give God his rightful place as God. You take your rightful place as doulos, the Greek word, which means slave, the lowest slave, and that's what we are. What do we want to hear from the Lord at the end of our lives as believers in Jesus? Well done, my good and faithful doulos, slave, not servant, slave. We've changed it to be servant because it sounds better than slave, but the Bible uses the word slave. Well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. As we said yesterday, you know, we are to guard, as Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, guard the treasure that has been entrusted to us, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the word of God. We guard it. We speak the truth in love. We stand up for the truth. We don't equivocate. We don't compromise. We stand up for the truth so that we can hear at the end of it all, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And during our time on the earth, we can experience the joy of the Lord by doing His will. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the question, do you want to be happy? We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the question, do you want to be happy? What does the Bible have to say about that? Well, God wants us to be happy. And the way, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is all about being happy. Blessed are you when you're this way and this way and this way, Jesus said. It's all we talk about the Beatitudes, the attitudes that ought to be. Makarios is the Greek word for blessed, and it means to be happy. And God didn't make us to be miserable. He made us to be happy. And the Bible really goes deeper than just happiness because it talks about joy. And the kingdom of God, Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you want to have joy and you want to have happiness, happiness is a byproduct of holiness. And the closer you and I draw to the Lord, the more that we experience His love and joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit starts to just overflow in our lives. Well, you're never going to find that outside of the Lord. As Solomon, when he went on his search in the book of Ecclesiastes, he found that, hey, unless I'm fearing God, unless I'm serving God, unless I'm obeying God and keeping His commandments, I'm going to be miserable because the Lord is the one who set everything up. And the Lord knows, hey, this is what is going to produce satisfaction in life, and this is what is going to produce dissatisfaction in life. Satisfaction comes from yielding to the Lord, surrendering to the Lord. Dissatisfaction comes from doing it your own way. Proverbs 19, verse 3, the foolishness of man ruins or subverts his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. We have lots of people today, and their hearts are raging against the Lord. They cannot stand the Word of God. They can't stand the Lord's will, the Lord's ways. They can't stand the fact that God says, this is the way, walk in it. They're like, who are you, God, to tell me what to do? Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells the parable, one of my favorite parables, because in it you have really the essence of what is in a man's heart. It says, he said to them, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. He's speaking of himself. He's the nobleman, went to a distant country. To receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. The King James, occupy until I come. We use that verse a lot, Luke 19, verse 13, to say that's what we're supposed to do as Christians on the earth. We're to be salt and light. We're to do business with what the Lord has given us until He returns, to be faithful, to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful slave. But it says this in Luke 19, 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. That is the heart of sin. I don't want to do what he says. I don't want him to be my boss. I want to be my own boss. And people go after that to be their own boss, captain of their own ship. And guess what? They're miserable because who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Ecclesiastes 2:25. Answer, No one, because God made us for himself. And as Blaise Pascal, the French physicist and mathematician, said, you can't find satisfaction. Your heart is made by God, and you can pour the whole world into a man's heart, and that heart will still be empty, because we were made by God, and we can only find satisfaction in the Lord. He is the missing puzzle piece for that void in our hearts. And so I know that lots of us are trying to find satisfaction outside of the Lord. I mean, every lost person is trying to find satisfaction outside of the Lord, because they don't know the Lord is outside their lives. And so all they have is self, and self is on the throne. But even a saved person, if you're going, you're trying to pursue your own deal, you're going to be miserable. You're going to, you know, we have a choice. We can be like Mary, and we can sit at his feet and listen to his word, Luke chapter 10, or we can be like Martha, worried and bothered about so many things. Even as a Christian, we don't want to be like that. We want to have the peace and the blessing that comes from walking with God. Excuse me. I ran across a clip yesterday, and this has to do with a lesbian bishop in the United Church of Christ. What a combination there. Lesbian Bishop Yvette Flunder, F-L-U-N-D-R. She is the quote-unquote pastor of City of Refuge Church, United Church of Christ Church in Oakland, California. And she doesn't like the word of God. Her heart is raging against the Lord because she wants to do her own thing. This is what she had to say. I think this was either yesterday or the day before, concerning the need for a third testament, where we would throw out the parts of the Bible we don't like and come up with our own. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. Now we need a third testament that would suit us and make us feel better about ourselves.
A very dangerous thing that I'm about to say now, but since I'm a bit dangerous. I'm of the opinion that we need a third testament, because the Bible has become problematic. Slaves, obey your masters as you do the Lord. It's a text. Let the women keep silent in the churches, and if they have any questions, let them ask their husbands at home. Now, I'm a believer. My whole heart, I trust God with my whole heart. I wake up in the morning talking to God and God talking to me. But I am completely frustrated with the ways in which the text speaks to the kind of vitriolic God that makes those kinds of things. And people will say, well, it's in the book. And I said, then we need to pour that page out. And he said, well, you can't do it. It's the word of God. I said, no, it's words about God. Come on now. But is it the word of God? No, it is not the word of God.
She's just mimicking what the devil said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. I mean, you can't trust this to be the word of God. This is not the word of God. She says it's the words about God, and we can tear it out if we don't like it. What did Paul say? The last chapter he ever wrote, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says to Timothy, and by saying this to Timothy through the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is saying this to every man, especially every pastor, every teacher. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. This isn't a minor thing. This is a major thing. This is a solemn charge. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, you have to stand before God one day in the Lord, even as a believer, to give an account. What did you do? The judgment seat of Christ awaits every believer, where we're going to be tested by fire, and we're going to see what, you know, why did we do what we do? What are the motives? What were the motives of our hearts? And what did we do? He says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. What are we supposed to do as preachers of the word of God? We're not supposed to add to it. We're not supposed to take away from it. We are supposed to preach it. And when we preach it, we reprove, ouch, that hurts, and rebuke, ouch, that hurts, and exhort, encourage. Three things that we're to do. Two of them are negative. Two of them hurt. Two of them are salt in the wound, so to speak. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. So whoever was in that lady's church, the City of Refuge, United Church of Christ, and heard that message by the lesbian Bishop Yvette Flunder, they're wanting to have their ears tickled. They want to do what they want to do. They're saying with the people in Luke chapter 19 with that parable, we do not want this man to reign over us. We don't want to do what his word says. We don't like his word. I mean, we can't rectify and reconcile his word with our own desires. So we're going to rip that page out. And we're going to say, well, we're going to do what we want to do. Well, that's the formula for disaster. And, you know, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. He is the judge of all the earth. You know, these people, I see some of these videos where a police officer will pull someone over for speeding or for some violation, and the person just doesn't want to cooperate at all. I don't recognize your authority over me. Erwin Lutzer wrote in one of his books that is the new attitude that people have. I don't recognize your authority, and that's the attitude people will have before God as they await their meeting with God. Well, I'm going to tell him how the cow ate the cabbage, and he doesn't have any authority over me. Well, that's what they think in their minds until they stand before the Lord and the fear is off the charts. Heaven and earth fled away and no place was found for them. Revelation chapter 20, talking about the great white throne judgment. It's a terrifying thing, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. People on Mount Sinai, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, they were scared to death. They said to Moses, Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. For God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." Don't be afraid of God, but fear God. Well, when people who rejected Christ stand before God, the fear is going to be off the chain. And heaven and earth don't want to be there. It says in Revelation chapter 6, when the tribulation period takes place and the Lord starts breaking the seals and judgment starts to fall, it says that the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Answer, no one, no one. So, do you want to be happy? Let me just encourage you, Psalm 119, the great long psalm in the book of Psalms that's all about the word of God. The psalmist says, "I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love." Lifting up a person's hands, that's in praise. We do that in church. We lift our hands to praise the Lord. But it's also in surrender, the universal sign of surrender. What is it? Raise up your hands. Hands up. You know, somebody sticks a gun in your back. Put your hands up. All right, you know, I can see your hands and they're up, and I know you're not, you don't have anything in your hands, and you've surrendered to me. Well, we have to surrender to the Word of God. We have to surrender to the Lord, His will, His ways, and His Word. And the conclusion when all has been heard, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So very important. And really, it simplifies the Christian life. We think the Christian life is hard. It's not hard, it's impossible. Because no one can live it other than Jesus. So in that sense, it's very, very difficult. You can't do it. I can't do it. We can't do it. But He can do it. And so what is living the Christian life? It's living surrendered to Jesus. And when you fall and fail, what do? You get up, you confess your sins, you start walking with Him again. The Christian life is a walk in the light with the Lord. And listen, you're going to have trouble in life. I have trouble in life. We have trouble in life. The longer you live, the more your body starts to break down, the more difficulties that you see. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. Job chapter 14, verse 1 tells us. Man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. Job chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that. Job is the picture. He's the poster child of trouble in life. But in all those things, Jesus said, "Be of good courage. I have overcome the world." Surrender your life to me. Let me be your joy. Let me be your peace. Let me be your strength. Just know, Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means you can handle every situation as you trust in Him. His grace is sufficient for you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And do you want to be happy? Let me just say this. You want to know what's going on in the world, but you don't want to get so bogged down in the things of this world that you lose sight of God, because our happiness isn't dependent upon who's in the White House or whose side is winning. Our happiness is dependent upon the Lord, and we can keep our eyes fixed on Him. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Well, as you probably have heard, there is a program going on this week in celebration of the 250th anniversary of America. America Reads the Bible. It started on Sunday in Washington, D.C., and lots of different speakers reading a couple of chapters of the Bible, and it's just one right after the other. It goes from 9 a.m. Eastern Time to 9 p.m. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It ends up on Saturday night, and Jenna Ellis is getting ready. She's going to be reading on Friday from noon to 1. And I was up yesterday, Monday, from 6 to 7 Eastern Time, and I read 1 Samuel chapter 10 and 11. And we're reading from, everybody reads from the same version, the King James Version, Easy Read Version. Let me tell you, the King James, even the easy read version, is not a very easy read. It's very stilted. It's old language. And it wasn't easy to read. I'm just thankful I didn't have, read the begats from Genesis chapter 5. Saying some of those names and pronouncing some of those names, very, very difficult. You know, you could do it live. Lots of people are doing it live. And then you could do it by video. I did mine by video, and Jenna is doing hers by video. The nice thing about doing it by video is if you mess up, you can start over. When you're doing it live, and we all know that, hey, when you're reading aloud publicly, you can mess up. And especially when you have some difficult names and places, and you got to pronounce these things, like, good night. You can practice and practice, and then you get up in front of people, and the pressure comes, and so you can crater. But anyway, I encourage you to check it out. America Reads the Bible. It was a great honor to be included in that, and we're just emphasizing, and I love the fact that we're emphasizing the Word of God, because America was founded on the principles of the Word of God, the Founding Fathers, so many of them strong believers. Even the ones that weren't believers recognized the value in the Word of God. They knew the Word of God. Benjamin Franklin famously said, when they were getting nowhere, he said, listen, the Bible tells us unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And so how are we going to build a government without God? And so they began to pray and seek the Lord. And as they did, God gave them the Constitution, and then America was born. So just to encourage you in your life, hey, if you want to be happy, it's you're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to put Him first. You're going to have to grow in your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God are critical. Well, let me just mention this too before we go to the phone lines. Activate Summit 2026. It's coming up July 16th through the 18th at Cadence Bank Conference Center in beautiful Tupelo, Mississippi. If you've never been to Tupelo, Tupelo is a really cool town, and that is the home base of American Family Association, American Family Radio. And so Activate Summit, there's an Activate Kids program for ages 6 to 12. This is for the whole family, and great sessions are going to be included, and all sorts of fun things and things to help you grow as a family. And Debbie and I are excited to be a part of that. We're going to be there that weekend. I know Dr. Jessica Peck is going to be there along with others. I'm going to be talking about a man and his marriage and how we can have families that honor the Lord and experience His blessings, because God wants us to have a home life that would be chock full of His love, His joy, His peace. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you put that stake in the ground and you say, we're going in this direction, we are going to follow God, we are going to be obedient, God blesses a family that does that. So the theme is from roots to fruit, grounded in truth, growing in grace. So I encourage you to go to afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit, and check it out and sign up and be a part of this, because it's going to be a great, great conference July 16th, 17th, and 18th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Well, the number to call, we've been talking about, do you want to be happy? And the number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I'd love to hear from you. And we have Willie on the line from North Carolina. Willie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
How you doing, sir? I'm glad to hear from you.
Yeah.
The question I keep hearing, I'm the age I am, I've been hearing a whole lot of talk from all preachers from all sides of the coin. Now, the question I want to ask you, how old is Satan and how old is God?
Mm-hmm.
And which one will heal first? and I take the answer off the air.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you, Willie. I appreciate you calling. Appreciate the question. So, God is eternal. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is God. I am God, and there is no other, God says. So, in the beginning, when there was nothing, there was God. And God created the angelic hosts, which included Lucifer, who was the one of the archangels. And he was the crowning creation of God as far as the angelic hosts go. They're messengers of God. And then Lucifer rebelled against the Lord. He took a third of the angels with him. And Lucifer, who is called the star of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night. The name Lucifer means light bearer. And he became the father of the night. He became Satan. And his cohorts, his partners in the rebellion, the one-third of the angels that went with him, they became filthy, hairy demons. And so Lucifer, Satan slash Satan, he is the devil. And his demonic horde are demons. And so Lucifer's a created being. God created everything. So who came first? Obviously, God. When did God come on the scene? He's always been on the scene because he's eternal. And from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So we don't know exactly when the angelic host was made. I tackled that subject with Dr. David Allen, theologian Dr. David Allen, last week when he was on the program. We talked about that. And the Bible seems to indicate a young earth, and probably creation took place. The angelic hosts and all those things took place in relatively short time, I would think. I don't think God made all the angels and then, you know, 10,000 years later, he made the earth. I think those things happened fairly close together. And I think the fall was probably not too long after God made the angelic host that there was a fall in heaven. So, but that would be the timeline. I believe with Ken Ham, I believe in a young earth. I believe that the earth is probably 6,000, 7,000 years old, something like that. And I think that when God made the earth, he made it mature. As I shared last week, I had a geology professor at the University of Texas, and I asked him about evolution, and he said, well, here's the thing. If evolution is not true, then we would have to conclude that the earth looks a lot older than it is, and which makes sense, because God would make a mature earth. He wouldn't make an infant earth. And so when Adam was created, Adam wasn't a little infant. He was a full-grown man. If you had asked Adam on day six, hey, how old are you? He'd say, well, I'm just an hour old. Well, it's like, no way you're an hour old. You can't be an hour old because you're a full-grown man. Well, yeah, things, when creation came about, things didn't start like they do today. And so if you, you see a person that's an hour old outside the womb, well, you know that, they're a newborn. When you see somebody who's 35 years old and you say, how old are you? And they say, well, I'm an hour old. Well, obviously that's not true, because that doesn't work like that. But it did back at the beginning. So I appreciate the question, Willie. If you have a question or comment, give me a call, 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you. I do want to share this. This was in the Stand magazine. I just got the Stand magazine yesterday, which is a magazine from the American Family Association. I love the Stand magazine. I just think it has such great articles in it. It's really well done. I remember telling Tim Wildman, I said, the first time I got the Stand magazine some years ago, I just figured I'll just flip through this and, it'll be like a lot of these magazines. But it wasn't. It had lots of great stuff in there. And so I look forward to getting it every month. And if you don't get it, you can get it online or you can get it sent to you. But I encourage you to check it out. It is really, really good. But they have a little article about Karen Whitsett, W-H-I-T-S-E-T-T. She is a Michigan state representative. She's a Democrat. And she declared that her conscience would not allow her to continue in the political realm. She said, quote, "I will not be seeking re-election for this office, and I will not be running for any office ever again. This is not a political calculation. It's a spiritual decision." She said, "I don't need to justify my convictions. I answer to God first. Those who understand, understand. Those who don't, don't. At the end of the day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. My responsibility is to stand in truth and walk in obedience, not to win approval." She said, "I have compromised my relationship with Jesus for too long. He gave me time to repent, turn, and be fully devoted to Him." She can't support anymore a party that is for abortion and for the normalization of homosexuality and the push to redefine gender. Those are all problematic because obviously those are contrary to the scripture. And if you say you're going to walk with God, you can't walk with God and support that junk. That's why I agree with John MacArthur. You cannot vote Democrat. Doesn't mean you have to vote Republican. You can say, "I don't want to vote that way either." But you cannot vote for a Democrat who is espousing and standing up for abortion and the LGBTQIA plus agenda and transgender insanity and open borders and protecting criminals and criminalizing victims. The things going on, you've probably heard about the judge in Minnesota who had the jury convicted this guy of fraud, stealing, I think it was $7.2 million in one of those Medicare fraud things that Minnesota's just rife with. And the judge overturned the jury and said, no, this is just circumstantial evidence, and let the guy walk. Listen, if we have no justice anymore in our court systems, and woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's what we're experiencing. We're done as a nation because the police can't do their jobs if the lawyers and the judges are just going to let these criminals go back out on the street. It's just horrific. And that's happening in Minnesota. Hey, we need to pray. We need to pray for our nation. We know this is a sinking ship, but we need to stand up and pray that the Lord's will would be done and that many would come to Christ while there's still time. We have time for one more call. Rhonda in Texas. Rhonda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
Yes.
So, okay, my question is, I'm just a little bit confused on sin and like the sin nature, where it comes from. Like, is it made with Adam, or, you know, like God created sin? What, like, just
yes.
Where it comes from?
Yeah, great question. So it comes to us through Adam. For by one man, Romans 5:12 says, for by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so as far as Adam and Eve went, they were made innocent before God, but they were not sealed before God like we are as Christians. We can't lose our relationship with God, but they could. So they were innocent. They were given free will. And God allowed them to choose. Now, if He had made them robots where they couldn't have chosen evil, then they would have loved God not as a choice, but as a manufacturing situation. I mean, you can't choose anything but God. And so real love has to be able to choose not to love. They chose to rebel against God. They chose to believe the devil's lies. Eve did, and Adam went along with her. And because of that, sin entered the world. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they fell from their innocence. And sin was born, and then they passed that along to all their children. And that's what we deal with today, a sin nature. Well, great question. Thank you, Rhonda, for that. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine, and share for Christ. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.